some paramedics in for Schwani. Multiple paper cuts today. Welcome in our Food Time Show with David Tamarkin from Epicurious.com. One of my favorite food sites. Fantastic recipes. What I've done is sign up, and I get recipes from them all day long. They, you know, they get something cool. They, you know, I've signed up on their kind of like on their email list, and I get these cool recipes and great ideas for things all the time, David. That's one of my favorite things from your site. But they're great recipes, like really interesting, really delicious, not like crazy off the wall kind of recipes that. You know, a person, unless you have all day long to cook, these are recipes that people can actually, you know, use who are working and have, you know, one or two other things going on in their life. So good for you guys for all the great work that you're doing there.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I have a saying for my staff. I say we do home cook realness. So if it really can't be done on a Tuesday night after work, we don't touch it.
Exactly. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I want to go through some of these great recipes that you've put down there, and also invite our listeners to call in with your favorite meatless recipes. 312-981-7200. Tell us some of the favorite things, or if you have questions about meatless cooking. More and more people are doing it all the time. I would have to think, David, that this is one of your more popular sections on Epicurious.com, because more and more people, if they're not going full vegetarian or full vegan, they're at least doing it one or two days a week now, just trying to eat more healthfully.
Yeah, the term is flexitarian. So they're not giving up, like you say, they're not giving up meat 100%, but maybe they're doing meatless Monday, or especially now, as you mentioned, for Lent, meatless Fridays. But they'll maybe put a little bacon in their soup just for flavor, or they'll do a blended burger, which is like half ground beef and half mushroom. So you're eating half the amount of beef. So people are doing all sorts of things to just kind of get more vegetables into their life. And I think they're doing it not just because of health reasons and not just because of environmental reasons, but because I think we are sort of over thinking that vegetables are boring, bland, and don't taste good. We know now they taste amazing, and there's, you know, they can be just as satisfying as, you know, a chicken breast.
Yeah, I agree. You're talking about veggie burgers here a second ago. You have a recipe for veggie burgers with zucchini and corn. You know, listen to what's in this. This sounds so delicious to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is, I'll admit, this is sort of more of a summertime recipe, although, you know, you can get zucchini and corn year-round. But in the summer, when zucchini and corn is really, you know, ripe and delicious and very sweet, this is a great recipe. Although, actually, this recipe calls for frozen corn, so that makes it a little bit easier. But, yeah, you've got cornmeal, you've got zucchini, you've got white beans. White beans are what is going to hold the burger together, and it also gives the burger a little bit of protein, so it's going to make it more filling.
Okay.
And then the sweet corn and quinoa or millet, which is obviously a whole grain.
Okay. Also good protein sources, both of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, both of those things. So, right, it's like the beans and the quinoa are these magical foods that give you both protein and fiber. So they're really keeping you full, and it's so good for you. And then to spice this burger up a little bit to give it a lot of flavor, we put lime zest in there. We suggest you serve it with cheddar and avocado, and it's really good. It's really good. And you can see the great thing about this, talking about weeknight stuff, you can make a big batch of these, you know, make some for dinner and then freeze the rest of them. And then you're just set to go, you know, in 5 minutes, you can have a great veggie burger after work.
So with these ingredients, the cornmeal, you said zucchini, but you mean grated zucchini. And I assume that you're squeezing, once it's grated, to squeeze as much moisture out as possible, right? So they're not falling apart.
You always want to do that to get it as dry as possible. Although in this recipe, it's sort of a wet mix. If you can imagine like you're making a meatloaf. It's sort of like a vegetarian meatloaf. So it's not as important here. Also, you're cooking it. So when you cook the zucchini, some of the water is coming out of it.
Oh, okay. All right. So it'll dissolve then. But you're talking about the beans. So is all of this going into something like a food processor to make a sort of a ground beef-like texture that you then form into a patty?
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're doing is you're chopping onion, garlic, zucchini, and the beans and everything in a food processor until finally chopped. And then you're taking that mixture and you're sautéing it. So that's when you're getting all the water out and you're getting lots of good flavor there because you're caramelizing the onions, you're caramelizing the corn.
Yeah.
And that's when you mix in the grains and some herbs, you mix in some basil, and then you mix in some like whole beans and whole corn. Anyway, it becomes a mixture. That's what you said, and you form it with your hands in the patty. Just like you would a regular burger.
Yeah, it sounds really delicious. And I've had some homemade veggie burgers. I've had some of the packaged stuff too, but those are so high in sodium that whatever health benefit you're getting, you're pretty much throwing out the window with the super high sodium content of the frozen ones. But it doesn't take that much to make these from scratch, and they're really delicious. And once you get them on the grill and you put a few condiments on there, it's really nice, which the recipe is up at epicurious.com. I also love the recipe that you sent us. It's only three ingredients. How much simpler can it be? Sweet potato casserole with maple pecans. This sounds absolutely delicious, too.
So I thought about this recipe because this is something that you would never believe is vegan because it's so creamy and it's so complex, and you would never believe it's only three ingredients. This comes from a menu we did for Thanksgiving 2016, where everything had three ingredients for Thanksgiving. So we did a three-ingredient Thanksgiving turkey, three-ingredient mashed potatoes, and this was our three-ingredient sweet potato recipe. But I cook this all the time. Right now, sweet potatoes are perfect. They're still really sweet. They're plentiful. I mean, I'm making sweet potatoes at least two or three nights a week right now in the winter. And this is a great way to do it. So what you do here is you take a few pounds of sweet potatoes, peel them, cut them into small pieces, and then you just cook the potatoes in boiling water like you would as if you were about to make mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you heat up some maple syrup in a skillet. You kind of let that get warm, and it's going to reduce a little bit. And then you're going to put some pecans in there. A little salt and pepper. We don't count salt and pepper as ingredients, by the way. That's our cheat. We say three ingredients plus salt, pepper, and oil.
Yeah, if it's into the palm of your hand like that, it's not an ingredient.
Yeah, we figure everyone has that in their kitchen. So.
Exactly.
Anyway, so you're sort of caramelizing the pecans in the maple syrup, so they're getting crunchy. They're getting really sweet. They're getting really delicious. And so then you puree the sweet potatoes, top it with the pecans, and you're done. You just bake it for about half an hour, and you're done. And it's so simple and so easy, and this is the thing that people will ask for more of. So you should make two if you're having a dinner party.
Yeah, no, it sounds absolutely amazing. I would imagine, talking about the sweet potatoes, that the use of the squashes probably comes in, frequently with meatless recipes as well. I made a butternut squash chili the other day. And it's, basically, pretty much traditional chili instead of any kind of meat in it. I baked up some butternut squash. I peeled and cut a butternut, took out the seeds and cut it into, bite-sized pieces, baked it, and then put that into the chili instead of meat. And the texture was wonderful, to have that baked butternut squash in the chili. The taste gave it a little bit of sweetness and, a little bit of thickness as well from some of the pieces that sort of dissolved in the chili. It was really, really, really good. Meatless on top of it, super healthy, was, just an extra bonus with all that.
Yeah. And I think you're right. Vegetarians and vegans, especially in the winter, do lean on squash and sweet potatoes pretty heavily, A, because they taste really good, B, they're so good for you. And there's, you know, was I doing 1, 2, 3 or ABC, whatever, B or C, they're so filling. As you know, you can have a whole bowl of chili, the vegetarian chili, and someone might be like, how's that going to fill you up? But squash and sweet potatoes, man, they're filling. They keep you full.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one of the really nice things about it. It's like, you know, fresh peppers in it, red, green and poblano peppers in it. Had two different kinds of beans in it. Fresh tomatoes that I, you know, pureed down into, like a sauce for it. But you can use canned. All this stuff can also be super, you know, canned, rinsed to get the sodium off as much as you can. And then, you know, you salt and pepper it to taste later on, chili powder and, you know, all that stuff. But I've got the recipe. If people want to see the recipe, it's up at WGNTV.com. We made it on TV. We had a cooking competition, David. Rachel Ray was on our TV morning show. And we were all, our assignment was to make something for Rachel Ray, and then she was going to judge us. You know, who would win? And I don't want to say anything. I kicked all my the anchors who cooked on the show that I kicked their butts with my vegetarian.
Oh, well,
very chilly.
Obviously, yeah. Of course.
Quick break, and we'll come right back. More vegetarian and vegan recipes. David Tamarkin from Epicurious.com. And you at 312-981-7200. Next on WGN. Our Food Time show today, sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurant. Enjoy the Mediterranean ambiance of authentic Greek dining at the award-winning Greek Islands Restaurant, with extra virgin olive oil and seafoods, wines, herbs, and spices, all imported directly from Greece, providing delicious and healthy meals. Favorites include whole Mediterranean sea bass, baked chicken rigatoni, their homemade gyros. On these cold days, a nice bowl of the delicious homemade egg lemon soup, or one of their vegetarian options, chickpea soup, or navy bean, or lentil soup. Private party rooms available at the Greek Island restaurants also provide catering since 1971. The Greek Islands has been Chicago's first choice for great food and reasonable prices. The perfect place to meet before a business lunch, family dinner, or before a game or show. The Greek Islands in Chicago, downtown in Greektown, 200 South Halsted at Adams, or in Lombard, 300 East 22nd Street. Free parking is available. Greek Islands is America's most popular Greek restaurant. Somebody posted on my Twitter page that the Pegasus restaurant in Greektown shut their doors, closed down the other day. So I was sorry to hear. We've recently lost Parthenon on Halsted Street. Apparently now we've lost Pegasus as well. Thank goodness the Greek Islands is going strong. Actually, as my, you know, before everything started closing anyways, always been my favorite down there. David, you said you lived in Chicago. I imagine you probably have gone to Greektown once or twice here.
When I lived in Chicago, I was the restaurant critic for Time Out Chicago. And I was a restaurant critic there for 10 years almost. So, yeah, I've been to every...
You've been to the mall.
Restaurant.
Did you have a favorite?
You know, now, of course, I've been gone for 3 years. And so everything, there were so many new places that I haven't been to. But at the time, I could say I've been to almost all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that, well, I mean, there's certainly plenty in the Greektown area, that's for sure. And then, of course, in Lincoln, what I talk about this all the time, a restaurant that's on 2E called Sistaria, which is absolutely, completely amazing. Anyway, we're talking vegetarian today with David Tamarkin from Epicurious.com. A listener texting in, David, and asking, since cauliflower is the new it vegetable, do you have some cauliflower suggestions?
Yeah, I do. And that's funny that your reader said, your listener said that, because it is sort of true. Cauliflower is so sort of hot right now, which is funny to say about a vegetable. But what I like to do with cauliflower is to do a cauliflower steak. So cut it, take the whole head of it, don't break it up into florets, keep it shape, and slice it into, maybe like an inch and a half slices, so that you have this sort of cauliflower steak that has the shape of the head, but it's, you know, flat. And you can, you know, you could roast it just like that, but I think it's easier to sort of par cook it. And you can do this in the microwave. I'm not afraid to suggest using the microwave. So what I would do is I would put it on a plate, wrap it in plastic wrap. Now, a lot of people know you can put plastic wrap in the microwave. Kind of steam it. It'll sort of steam itself that way for just put it in there for like 2 or 3 minutes.
Now you're talking about it as the head of cauliflower or as steaks that you've cut now?
As the steak, just put as the steaks.
Okay.
All right. Put the steaks on a plate and wrap it.
Got it.
In the microwave. And then you just treat it like you would a skirt steak. Get a big cast iron pan, really hot. You know, get some oil in there. Sear it. And, you know, you can spice it. I might spice it with like some smoked paprika, to give it, you know, sort of like a really nice color and a really nice smokiness. Obviously you want to season it with salt and pepper. At the end of grilling. So what I would do, I would probably start with like a neutral oil, like grapeseed oil or vegetable oil, and get a good sear on it. And then at the end, I might throw in some butter and baste it in butter. You could serve that with some. So I know a guy who serves that with sort of a caponata-ish sauce.
Yeah.
You know, like if you had.
Like the chopped grapes or chopped olives and things, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Or like even an eggplant caponata, which, you know, is an eggplant usually has some raisins in it or some. So it's like a sweet and sour type thing. A
little tartness.
That's really good on cauliflower. Yeah. Or you could just make it. Do another agrodolce thing. Agrodolce just meaning sweet and sour, and do like some cook up some red onions with a little bit of balsamic vinegar.
Also delicious. I've had it with just a couple of squirts of balsamic vinegar on it, and it's absolutely amazing. We'll have to pick it up another time here, David, because we're completely out of time, but it's always great to talk to you.
I went on and on about that cauliflower.
Well, I know when a man starts talking about cauliflower, you know, his head goes to wondrous places. David Tomark, editor at epicurious.com. Always great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Always nice having you on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.